Now, no fouls. It'll be Steven Adams.
They give Steven Adams some.
And wow! The one-hander from half court.
Wow. I was going to say, that's the second percentage buster that they've given him. Wow.
The big man slings it up and slings it in. So obviously Chris Paul knew what he was doing.
He held the follow-through, too. He held the follow-through. He knew that was good.
Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Friday, February 14th. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. Did you get some flowers? Did you get the missus some flowers, more pertinently? Jesus, better hurry up and sort that out. You've got a couple of hours. Jesus. Get us some chockies as well, bro. All right, I am your host, James Clements. I am a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Australia just a little bit. That's what we do here. And it's Fuck It Friday. Love a good Fuck It Friday. We're talking the two awesome games today. That was really fun. And that's about it. We've also got an All-Star Weekend preview. Going to make some picks. Talk about who's going to win some stuff. Should be good. We've also got the usual dumbassery. We always do that. Come on, man. That's not a knife, old mate. No, mate. Spot of the night. Pants in the evening. Better than Lonzo Ball. And because it's Friday, we've got a dickhead of the week. And of course, there's Yenars. The unpopular opinion of the day. And Outback Takeouse, where we're serving up a flame grill tag. There's also the Australian Player Watch. And because it's Friday, we've got a Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job. Role player. Hall of Famer. And it's a bloke who's just sort of stuck around for ages. Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, and a pick and preview for, as mentioned, all the All-Star Weekend shenanigans. It's going to be good. Brought to you by playup.com.au, isn't it? Yeah, good stuff. Jesus. And we're going to close out with a Cooking with Bainesy, which will be good. So, should be fun. playup.com.au/NBA Australia for your odds. Do that. And let's get into it. Episode 411, NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Especially with Chicago. All-Star Weekend. Shaq's going to tear a new swathe through that city. Love it. Better watch out for Chuck Barkley if you're Chicago fans, apparently, too. Trashed him today. That was pretty good. What else? You should watch out for Zion Williamson if you're the rim of a basketball hoop. Tough scenes. He destroyed some today. That was awesome. All right, let's get into the daily whip around. It's how we start every show here at NBA Australia. Oh, that was good. Usually it works. There we go. Fuck me. Rough start to the show. I'll tell you what. It's got to be fucking Friday. There we go. Paul George left the Celtics-Clippers game today. Left hamstring strain, a.k.a. I don't want to go to Chicago even to have to like support my teammates. I want to go rehab at home. Good stuff. Speaking of the All-Star game, Devin Booker has whinged his way into replacing Damian Lillard in the All-Star game. Congrats. This goes to show, kids, if you bitch and moan enough, eventually someone will get hurt and you can take their place. Speaking of Dame, apparently went and underwent an MRI, groin strain, 1 to 2 week recovery. So give that 3 to 4 maybe. But anyway, also love that Dame Dollar apparently still intends to perform on Saturday night. I guess, you know, you're carrying that loaf around a lot of that time, man. That's what rapping's about. So it's good stuff on you, Dame Dollar. I love that. He's like, oh yeah, I can't play basketball. I'm not going to shoot threes. Still going to get up and perform though. How much this is worth. I'm going to get so many downloads. Nice. And we also had a dropout of the NBA Rising Stars game with DeAndre Drummond Ayton from the Bahamas being replaced by Nikola Melihalau, who, weirdly enough, Rising Stars game. The bloke's fucking 29. Like, you're taking the piss at that point, aren't you? Oh, he's a rising star. He's, like, been driving for 10 years. He's older than Derek Favors. That's the best part. His teammate, Derek Favors, has been in the NBA for 9-10 years. And Nicolò Melli's older than the bugger. That's amazing. Good stuff. And what else? We've got the Celtics. They're retiring Kevin Garnett's number 5 next season, which is awesome. Talk about that later. And finally, great piece from our buddy Matt. The Daily Tally about the Mavs reaching out to Craig Moller, Sydney King, about a bit of a training stint. Mini camp, basically, before Summer League. So let's go Craig the Manimal Moller. That's fucking cool. 25-year-old Moller. Love that shit. Love him. He's awesome. So there you go. See how we go. Gonna love a bit of Summer League this year. Wonder if I can get away this year for it. Wouldn't mind going to Vegas. All right. Let's do the game race for today. We had two ripper games before the All-Star weekend. Everyone fucks off to Cancun. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Speaking of 1, 2, 3, OKC won. 1, 2, 3, 123. This is the New Orleans Pelicans, 118. Weird, fun game. OKC was scoring at will in the paint. New Orleans' defense was just pretty shit house. OKC had an 11-0 run basically in the middle of the third quarter that really gave them enough breathing space to sort of coast a little bit. And look, the Pels, more power to them. They didn't roll over, which a young team ahead of like a week off would, you know, it's not outside of their purview to do so. Even to the point where the Pels got a lead in the fourth quarter, which is really fun. But Danilo Gallinari, who at this point you'd expect has like 1 foot out the door, he's like, I'm going to like, not just Cancun, I'm going to go to like Tulum for like 2 weeks. It's like, Danilo, you've only got 1 week. He's like, I don't care, dudes. I'm going for two. See you later. I'm Danilo Gallinari. He finished with 29 points. He was awesome. And scored 11 of their last 15 points down the stretch. Good stuff from Gallo. They held off the Pelicans, led by Zion. He had 32. He was amazing. Lonzo was pretty great. Hit a couple of big threes late too. He went 5 of 8 from downtown. Did Lonzo. 16 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. Classic Lonzo. 14-11 for Jrue Holiday. JJ Redick was dead-eyed. 24 points for him. A lot of Melly, as mentioned. Nicolò Melli, hello, down the stretch. He was 2 of 7 for 6 points, but was playing because they're just like, oh, shit. You know, Brandon Clark, the rest of our young big dudes, fuck it. We're going to stretch the floor, see how we go. Nearly worked. Didn't quite, though. The Thunder, as mentioned, led by Gallo with his 29. 12 of 18 he went from the floor. Pretty bloody good for the Italian Stallion. CP3 had 14 points and 12 assists, 8 rebounds. He was very, very good. Shireta Gilgeous-Alexander, 17 and 7. That's assists. Good job for the Canadian. German Rondo and Dennis Schröder, 22 points and 7 of 16 shooting. He was very handy at points as well. But the big story to come out of this game was Stephen Adams' brew. 1 of 1 from 3, brew. Oh, did you see my shot, brew? It was sick, RZ. 11 points, 11 rebounds, 1 of 1 from downtown. The first three-pointer he's made in 516 games. The big Kiwi, you absolute legend. Anyway, this deal's a pretty big, hefty blow to New Orleans' playoff hopes here. They're now 23-32 heading into the break, and leaves them a lot of room to make up, to make a playoff run. The Grizzlies are 28-26. Like, the Pelicans are going to first sniff fucking 500 to even think about that. They're basically 6 games behind the Grizz, and look, winning 4 out of every 5 games for a young team is going to be pretty fucking tough, I reckon. So I think the Grizz will hold on. But yeah, big loss for the Pals here. And OKC cruising along with that win, all tied up with the Dallas Mavericks, 6-7 in the West. So good stuff. And then the second game today was an absolute rip snorter, 141 Boston win it in double overtime over the Clippers, 133. Absolutely amazing. Weird start. Smart and Tatum were the only ones who scored literally for the entire first quarter for the Celtics until basically a minute left when Hayward scored. It was like 14 and 10, I think, for Tatum and Smart, which is pretty hilarious. Kawhi! It was like hammering tongs in the first bit. It was awesome. Tatum had 14, Kawhi had 15, and that was kind of like the rest of the game, right? They just went back and forth at each other. It was great. Kawhi just kept rolling. Kemba started doing a little bit here and there, but Tatum really just, like, the clamps that he put on Clamps Leonard were pretty fucking impressive, I gotta say. Kawhi, look, He's a hard man to keep down, and he kept the team in it. Sweet Lou just decided to fucking take over in the fourth. Came basically roaring back. The Clippers didn't lead for like the entire second half, and they managed, thanks to Landry ShamWow Shamit, to get it to a double overtime, which is hilarious and pretty weird and pretty funny. But it was good. It was awesome. Lou Will basically gets them to overtime. Kawhi helps get them to overtime. They absolutely crush it. It's pretty fun. Clippers absolutely crushed it in that first overtime, but the Celtics come roaring back. It was absolutely hilarious. It was such a weird game. Like, the fact that it got tied up, basically no one scored for like the last minute and a bit after Mook Morris tied it up, basically 114 to force the overtime. And that was basically the only thing Mook Morris did all fucking game. He's just like, I'm going to make all these Celtics fans sit here a bit longer just to annoy them with myself one more time. But yeah, basically the Celtics would get up two, get up three. Lou Will would just hit another shot. Away they go. And then the Clippers were going all right. You know, they're out. Oh, shit, we're up. We're up four. Here we go. And then the Celtics are like, oh, nah, here's Jason Tatum. He's going to fuck ya. Marcus Smart doing stuff. The Marcus Smart threes in this game were amazing. But it was really fun. And basically, Kemba missed a game winner in regulation. Fully expected it to go in. Overtime, Celtics are up three. Sham Wow hits a big bald three. This ends at a double overtime. And Tatum really just down the stretch was unstoppable. So it was an awesome game. Amazing look at Boston and their strengths, even with Haywood struggling. And the Clippers lose Paul George, as mentioned. Kawhi has 28 points. And you're like, that's pretty good. Thanks for coming, Kawhi. And he's like, oh, no problems. Ha ha. Hey. Paul George, though, after 15 minutes, he was gone in the third quarter. 2 of 7 shooting, 0 of 2 from him. Kawhi basically is like, it's all on me. Sweet Lou goes, nah, I got you, bro. 35 points for Sweet Lou. 14 of 33 shooting. Doesn't matter. 8 assists. Montrez has 24 and 13. They combine off the bench for 59 points. Pretty amazing. Sham Wow. Landry Shamit, 19 points, including that big, bald, double overtime sender three-pointer. He was awesome. Went 4 of 8 from deep. And not much else. Yep, not much else at all. Mook Morris ends up with 10 points, 4 of 8 shooting, including that 3 to tie it all up in the late in the 4th to give the Clippers a chance to win. But really, nothing else going at all. And it's one of those games where you're like, oh, yeah, trading Mo Harkless and all the rest of your sort of young dudes and all your depth kind of sucks sometimes. Anyway, for the Celtics, Tatum was amazing. 39 for him. We'll talk about him again in a second. Marcus Morris had 31 on 10 of 20 shooting. His three off the bounce that was thrown ahead by Wanamaker was absolutely amazing to put them up 8 in the middle of the 4th. But still, goes to overtime. All he did was cause more havoc. Goes and hits that other 3 to tie it back up. Ends up shooting 5 of 14 from downtown to Marcus Smart. But it was awesome. And Kemba, 19 points, 7 assists, 9 rebounds. He was awesome. Did a bit of everything. 5 of 17 shooting, but was kind of... the dude that you can just go, oh, Tatum's probably going to lead us to a win, but if we need someone to bail us out, it's Kemba. Because Gordo Hayward, fucking old mate Gordon great again. 21 points on 21 shots. Kobe, 6 of 21. 13 rebounds, 1 block. But I swear he had 2 fucking blocks in that overtime. Anyway, but Hayward was taking shots. They just weren't going. And he's like, oh, fucking come on. He looked dead. And then comes up with like 3 massive defensive plays down the stretch in overtime. So that was pretty impressive. The Celtics shot 40 free throws. The Clippers took 37. You wouldn't know that if you looked at Doc at any time during this game. But this is the thing about the Clippers. They went 11 of 35 from downtown. And you do wonder about like where the rest of their shooting is going to come from if Paul George isn't going. And yeah, it looks pretty fucking dire. You know, Magruder is out there hitting 1-3, doesn't do anything else. Whereas the Celtics, 18 of 43. When Marcus Smart is on, it is fucking hard to beat this Boston team. And obviously, when Tatum's playing like an absolute fucking superstar, it's very hard to beat them, as evidenced by the fact they put up 141. Anyway, the Clippers now 37 and 18, Boston 38 and 16. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a night.
Oh, Stephen Adams, bro. Did you see that one-handed shot three-pointer that I hit, bro? You don't even need two hands to hit a three-pointer, bro.
That was sweet, was he? That was amazing. The big Kiwi is 1 of 10 from 3 for his career now, after 516 games. But look, as impressive as that was, and as impressive as Marcus Smart was, and I tend to always want to give the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night to Marcus Smart, because there's no one out there who plays fucking harder, or with more heart, than Marcus Smart. Pack the car, Marcus Smart. But it was awesome to watch him. I love how much the Boston crowd fucking loves him. And when he's going, he's amazing. The problem is, like, yeah, he also has the Terry Rozier games where he goes 1 of 9 and stuff. But, look, Tatum was amazing. Dunks, threes. Like, he had back-to-back possessions where he took it in on the Clippers, dunked over all of them, and then hit, like, a beautiful fucking step-back three on the very next possession. He had a block, like, two possessions after that. He was just incredible. The defense is playing on Kawhi. Super impressive. I mean, for a 19-year-old, this is incredible. Jimmy's not 19 anymore. Yeah, that's the joke. 39 points, 14 to 23 shooting, 5 of 10 from deep, 9 rebounds, a steal, an assist, and a block. He was incredible. Great defense all around. He was a monster in this game, and it's pretty telling. Like, it's before his first All-Star appearance. Throws in a game like this on national TV. It's like, you don't want to. It's like Kyrie did this probably the year that he sort of massively broke out in like 2014-15 in Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
Might have been 14, where it's like, oh, fuck, this guy is good. You know, wins Rising Stars stuff, All-Star, just lights up the three-point comp. Tatum might be on the brink of doing the same sort of thing. So that was awesome. What a game. Good on him. Who's old mate? No mates, however.
Old mate, no mates.
Today? Marv. Look, I know that he's like 80 billion years old, but confusing Zubac and Tease on the very first play of the game, and then confusing Hayward and Tatum. I mean, jeez. He mixed up the Clippers and Celtics continually. I know they both start with C there, Marv, but fucking hell, mate. I'm going to talk about Kevin McHale a bit later, but it was a rough one for our old boy, Marv, and Twitter was lighting into him, so definitely old mate, no mates. And you can also see why TNT Tuesday is now a thing where they're like, we need to get this guy's replacement out here right away. Oh, geez. Who is Spud of the Night?
Spud of the Night.
Look, there's a couple of contenders for the old Spud of the Night. It was a rough going for Nerlens Noel. In 11 minutes, he went 1 of 4 from the field. It's like, you're very close to the hoop all the time, Nerlens. What the fuck? But Paul George just looked absolutely fucking cooked before he went out of this game. There was no really sort of big, oh shit, there he goes. He's popped his hammy. It was just like, he looked uncomfortable the entire game. 15 minutes, 2 of 7, 0 of 2 shooting, 2 fouls and a turnover. Not much else. 1 assist, 1 rebound. It was pretty gross going for Paul George, you know? Not great at all. So it was a bit spud-worthy. Gordo also looked a bit cooked. Make Gordon great again. Jesus, 6 of 21 shooting. But 21 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. Did a lot of the other little things. As mentioned, all those blocks and some good D late. So can't really give him the old spud of the night. So I might just give this to Paul George. Mook Morris had the anti-revenge game for most of this. He would have had like the worst, like sort of just brutalist fucking, oh, hey, remember me, I'm awesome. I'm the big piece for these guys. I'm going to help them win the title. And goes back to Boston and just spuds it up. But until that last three with 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter to send it to overtime. But Mook Morris, 4 of 8 shooting, 2 of 6 from downtown. Classic Mook Morris in Boston, isn't it? Not quite the anti-revenge game, but close enough. All right, pantsing of the night. Abdul Nader got volleyballed into the fucking crowd by Zion. But I don't know if that's pantsing, because I've got a feeling that's going to happen to a lot of people. That's going to be like a fucking water balloon fight. Like, that's going to happen to fucking everybody. But how about Sham Wow? Got put on Sham skates by Kemba Walker, who then dropped the three on his head in overtime. So that was pretty brutal for Sham Wow. Sham Wow did, you know, hit that big three though, so you can't really blame it, but that was a bit of a panting. And you always love it when you get put on skates if the bloke actually hits the three, and Kemba did not disappoint. All right, who was better than Lonzo Ball though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Unfortunately, on his own team, Zion Williamson is better than Lonzo Ball. Yep. It's not hard. What is it? 8 games in, 32 points, 6 rebounds, 11 of 19 shooting, 10 of 13 from the free throw line. One block that I just mentioned on Abdul Nader. The one assist, he was awesome. Absolutely amazing. Lonzo was pretty good, man. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. 5 of 8 from downtown. Hit a 3 late that gave them a sniff at a win too, but no good. So Zion, look, similar to how we've had to sort of bump, Trae Young, Jason Tatum, Donovan fucking Mitchell and co out of the better than Lonzo Ball stakes, Zion might not be able to appear in this much longer because it's just, I mean, it could just be him every game, couldn't it? All right, and finally, it's Friday. Let's do a bit of a dickhead of the week.
Dickhead of the week.
Oh, refs, would you fuck off? I already tweeted this one. Like, it happened a couple of times. I noticed over the last couple of days, the bouncing of the ball quite hard, and it doesn't matter. Like, you're clearly frustrated. I get the idea of giving someone a tech if they throw the ball away, or if they roll the ball away from you, or they throw into the fucking crowd, or they kick into the crowd. But if they bounce it hard on the fucking floor and then take it back in their hands, don't give them a fucking tech. They're frustrated. They just bounce the fucking ball hard. They're not showing anybody up. They're frustrated at what they perceive to be a bad call by you. Don't compound this fucking dipshittery by fucking giving the player a tech for bouncing the ball hard on the ground, you fucking nerds. The other one is obviously always, this happened today as well, hanging on the rim for a poofteenth of a second, a little bit longer than the ref apparently fucking deems necessary. A bloke who's never dunked in his fucking life giving you a tech for hanging on the rim for maybe, a split fucking second too long. What the fuck would that bloke know about it? Get the fuck out of here. So anyway, refs, been a bit of a continual thing over the last couple of weeks. Just a couple of little fucking little annoyances popping up. And there've been a couple. So rose to a head today in both those two games. So, you know, felt like it was a bit of a yell-worthy spot and dickhead of the week. Basically just refs in general. Scott Foster can fucking eat a dick too. Anyway, refs, look, just lift your game. I don't want to have to complain about refs. No one wants to complain about refs. We don't want to ever talk about refs. That's a thing, right? So don't let us. By being better at your jobs. All right, Yena, after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Bit of NBA Australia Yena for you. This is where we take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether it's, you know, more yeah or more nah. Number one, are you excited for NBA All-Star Weekend, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. Can't wait. Should be good. Should be very, very fun. A lot of stuff going on. Smashing tins. Watch some dunk comp, three-point comp. And Monday, we'll have the All-Star game. That'll be fucking gross. All right, Jesse Henderson. Hey, Jimmy, with teams like the Lakers, Sixers, Clippers, and that having at least two top 30 players, are there / which NBA teams have no top 30 players if everyone like Steph and KD were available tomorrow? Are there? Yeah, nah, yeah. And I think, who did I come up with off the top of my head? I said to Jesse, Charlotte do not have a top 30 player. The Cavs do not. The Kings do not. The Pistons, the Magic, and the Knicks do not. And I feel like you can make a case for literally every other team for having at least, obviously having a top 30 player on their team. Jesse replied that he'd have Drummond in his top 30, but would also add the Kings, Memphis, and OKC. And I'd say that Memphis, Ja, and OKC with CP3 or Shireta would easily slot into people's top 30. So, but yeah, it's very, very, very close and very, very, very good. It's a good question. So I reckon there's like 5 teams. What do you reckon? Charlotte, Cavs, Kings, Pistons, Magic, Knicks. 6 teams. And maybe, depend on what you think about Ja, depends on where you think CP3 and Shy come into it. But coming up with your own top 30 players is fucking hard. And maybe that's something I'll do next week when we've got no games. What do you reckon? Sounds good. All right, Jimmy, does KG's Boston jersey deserve to be retired? I got asked this by a mate by a text. I'm like, fucking yes, of course. Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. 100% I think it does. The way KG approached the game, the will in his might, especially that after he left Minnesota, a fucking team that he fucking bled and died for, goes to Boston, does the exact same thing. After years of Antoine Walker and lackadaisical ass fucking Paul Pierce, KG comes in and completely changes their entire course of that franchise, right? Might have been Doc who had Ubuntu and all that sort of stuff, but at the same time, KG and Rondo were the motor that, what, 5-6 years of intense contending competitiveness that has basically seeped into Boston lore and continues now, right? Like, so I love the idea that, like, the way he basically changed that franchise from a pushover throughout most of the thousands to winning the title in 08 and really just sort of kicking the ass into gear of the entire, like, ownership group, the front office, etc., is fucking awesome. And don't forget, during the 6 years he was there, five-time All-Star, four-time All-Defensive Player, Defensive Player of the Year, and won the fucking title. So I think we can retire number five. And Bill Walton also wore it anyway, and so did Gerald Green, so retire that shit. Hey, also, what the fuck are Minnesota waiting for? I don't know what Minnesota's fucking hang-up about KG is, but those motherfuckers need to sort that shit out. It's ridiculous. Also, how nice was Doc? Doc said, I've often said about him, was the greatest superstar role player ever. He was a superstar, but he played his role for the team anyway, somehow. I don't know how he did that, but he did. It's like, fuck yeah. And if you go watch Uncut Gems, KG is awesome in it. And finally, yeah, nah, this is a great one from Brad McKeegan. Listen to Brad. Jimmy, yeah, nah, the Carew Show is just insanity for white guys who live in their mum's basement. Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. I nearly died when I read that. 100%. It's like all these fucking chunky white dudes with balding fucking hair just like going, hey, we need representation in the NBA too. Hashtag me too. They fucking love that Caruso shit. That is basically like fat, slow white guy's Linsanity. And I like Linsanity was fucking gross. I got, you know, I was in New York for a bunch of it. It was fucking awesome. And then was in Brooklyn, obviously, for when he was there in with the Nets for a couple of years, which was great and awesome because anything that fucking gets fans involved is fucking awesome. That's why I can't complain about the Carew Show because if people want to talk about it, it's fucking hilarious and hey, more power to him. I'm also going to still rag on him. But look, that dude was in the fucking G League. He's doing great. But yeah, Carew Show is insanity for white guys living in their mum's basement. Good one, Brad. That was fucking great. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please.
Look at me. Kevin McHale might be a fuckwit, but it was nice to have him back on the call. I enjoyed that. He was, like, in the olden days, he was one of the better announcers going around the NBA traps. It was nice to have him back for a little bit. And that's kind of all I want from the calls of NBA games, right? For them to try different combos, try different people, because it opens up different perspectives, different opinions, and different sort of approaches to the game. That don't get fucking, like, I appreciate iconic duos, that's fine. But also iconic duos like Mark Jackson's Jeff Van Gundy get fucking stale and boring very, very quickly sometimes. And yeah, getting this sort of changed up from Marv and fucking Chris Webber to Kevin McHale and Chris, Marv was fun. A couple of old white guys, but still we can probably do better than that. But it was all right. Just keep changing it up is basically what I'm trying to say. Also, fuck Kevin McHale and his Trump-loving ass. All right. Finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh yes, wrap your lips around this one. Couple of ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's oil drum cans full of icy cold Foster's lager. It's Aussie for beer. At least that's what we tell you fucking idiot Yanks. No prick back in Australia drinks this shit. Tastes like horse piss. Have you ever fucking tried it? It's fucking horrible. But 4-for-1, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, even though they got Kawhi and PG and are now owned by a different bloke, Paul George's hammy just shows that the Clippers are still the Clippers, and until they change their name and change their colours, they're never going to win a title. Only at Outback. There you go, the Clipper curse is real. What is it? The Buffalo Braves curse. Just weird. I mean, Paul George's hammy might not be that bad, but it's just all the same thing. He missed, what, 8 games, 9 games last month? Tweaks it again? at what point of the clip is going to have like a sort of run where they're actually sort of out here and building a bit of cohesion? Do you reckon it's going to happen? I don't know, man. I don't know. All right, let's do the Australian Player Watch and all the other fun stuff right after Rowdy.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockhoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Well, there's no Australian players to watch today, but we did have big Simo Ben Simmons tweeting out some good stuff, and he obviously will be appearing in the All-Star game, which is fantastic. And so, essentially, let's have a look at Ben Simmons heading into the All-Star break, coming off the bench for Team LeBron, which is going to be fucking great. Can't wait. It's his second All-Star appearance. Going to be awesome. He also tweeted out, Chicago, what's good? And then also tweeted out, my go-to snack at any given time is 4-20 brand new beef and cheese traveler. Oh, I somehow not entirely believe Ben Simmons' go-to snack at any given time is a beef and cheese traveler. But still, good job. But he did also talk about Adam Goods, who's inspired him. And there's a great little video on the Philadelphia 76ers social media pages for Black History Month. It's amazing. Good job, Simo. Good job, Adam Goods. Good job, Sixers, for actually doing that. So that was really cool. All right, for the rest of the Aussies, for the All-Star break, where do you reckon they are? Jingles is going to be out there preparing for the Kokoda Trail Trek that he and his wife are going to be doing, probably in the off-season. Dante Exum, where do you reckon he's going? I reckon he's just sitting on a beach in LA somewhere. King Daly is out there hanging out. He was in San Francisco. So I've got a feeling Delhi. There we go. He's looking at Cafe X. Interesting. Fascinating. What's he going to be doing? Hanging out in Cleveland, maybe? Who knows? Petty Thrills, Petty Mills. Nah, probably not much. Kung Fu Thon. Hanging out, barring his Baines, probably belting some sense into Jonah Bolden. And hopefully Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff is getting a new team. All right, let's do the Luke Longley Award for the bloke who just did their bloody job. Role Player Hall of Fame. It's a good one. I mean, it's number 5 for the Boston Celtics. I mean, Kevin Garnett was actually kind of... It's amazing that Doc brought that up. And KG would take over when needed, but also just did his role amazingly better than anybody else ever. But Gerald Green also wore number 5 for the Boston Celtics, don't forget. Weird to think that he played on 8 different teams, Geraldo Green. He's always been fun as hell. Won the 2007 dunk comp, don't forget that. Jumped over Nate Robinson. Had that massive windmill jumping over the box. He was robbed of the dunk comp title in 08. Blew out the birthday candle, which I don't think anyone realized just how fucking awesome that was at the time. Also just did his job, which was, please, Gerald, go out there and score, would you? And that's what the voices in his head were always saying, too. Shot 36% from 3 for his career, averaged almost 16 a game with Phoenix a couple of years ago. That was awesome. Love him. Gerald Green is absolutely amazing. But how about another number 5 for the Boston Celtics? That's right, bloody Bill Walton. Because, don't forget, by the time he basically got to the Celtics, he was a role player, which is kind of weird to think about, but in terms of superstar role players... obviously, he and KG are different parts of their careers, but look, Walton basically only played 2 seasons in Boston, won a title in 86, one of the greatest teams of all time, only averaged 7 points, 7 rebounds basically coming off the pint, but did his fucking job, and he was a superstar, shot 56% in that limited run for that season. It was awesome. His highest, best game, I guess, for the year was a 22-12 game that he threw up against Milwaukee. Right at the end of the season. He's 33 at this point too. But, you know what he did? He's fucking job, just like Luke Longley. Lucian Luke Longley. So, number 5 for Boston. Just fucking hurry up and retire it. Put KG's name on it. Put Bill Walton's name on it. Put fucking Gerald Green's name on it. Put Ron Mercer's name on it. I don't care. But everybody did a bloody good job. Good on him. All right, nice one. All right, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in for today. Might be a bit of a jingling Joe Ingles one because he's pretty amazing at the moment. Retweeted his wife, Renee. First day of All-Star break. We're getting Kokoda ready. Joe Ingles is excited to hit the track in June with a great group of people doing it all for 4 ASD Kids charity. I hope to raise over 100 grand. And there's a GoFundRaise.com.au page. So go check that out. Great pick of Joe and Renee. And obviously Joe also tweeted out a couple of coffee emojis the day before. Awesome. And then huge thank you to Campos SLC for hosting the Bushfire Relief Dinner. It was a fun and successful night. That's an Instagram post. Great photo of Jingles and Renee hanging out. Awesome stuff. And raised some money for some bushfire relief. Nice. Let's see if Patty tweeted out anything. I didn't see anything pop up, but I'll just check because I'm nothing if not thorough here on NBA Australia. The Koala Mills things. We talked about that yesterday. Good stuff. All right. Time for the All-Star Game Previews. All-Star Weekend. Brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. All-Star Preview. All-Star Preview. Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem.
Let's do it. Rising Stars. We've got the World versus USA. Team World are 5.5-point underdogs. And you know what? I'm kind of on board versus Team USA. Team USA has probably got the sort of the bigger names, but fuck it. I kind of like the idea of Team World just going, nah, fuck yous. We've got Luka. We're going to go hammer and tongs. They've got Nikki Alexander-Walker, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark, Luka Doncic, Shireta, Rui Hachimura. They don't have the starry names like Zion or Sexman or Ja or Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. Tyler, you know. It's interesting. I reckon Zion's barely going to play in this. Maybe you go hammering songs. But still, I like Team World plus 5.5. There's always like a weird sort of funky vibe to the Rising Stars game. Ja will probably try to do too much, but I reckon MVP will be Ja. So if you can find odds on that, do that. But yeah, I feel like Ja is going to win that. Skills Challenge. Look, you've got a couple of former winners here who are the favorites. You've got Tatum, you've got Spencer Dinwiddie, and I kind of like Pascal Siakam. He's at $6.50. Spencer is at 4.5. And, you know, I'm just kind of like, can we, like, what can Siakam not do? Like, nothing. I think he'll be amazing. So, you've got Bam Adebayo, Patrick Beverley, Spencer Dinwiddie, Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, Mitty, Demarcus Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, Sikkim Siakam, and Tatum. I don't know. I kind of like Sikkim Siakam. I feel like he's got enough speed. He can hit threes. He's adept at dribbling, passing, all that sort of stuff. So, I don't know. Tatum already seems like he doesn't want to do it. So, I don't think he's going to go full hammer and tongs. Spencer, maybe. Look, I just kind of like Pascal Siakam, so that's my pick for that. The three-point comp. Now, I've got a couple of ideas for this one. I mean, it should obviously be Jingling Joe Ingles, but you know, sometimes you get that on the big jobs. He doesn't enter, but that's all right. You got Bertans, Booker, Devontae Graham, Joe Harris, Buddy, Steph Curry-Hield, Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine, Trey Young, and Duncan Robinson. And Joe Harris at $4.50 to repeat. It's not bad. Devin Booker at $6. Davis Bertans at $6, but you know who's going to be your three-point competition winner? Duncan fucking Robinson, that's who. $5.50 to $1, like this. Made his 200th career three-pointer last night. He made that in 69, nice, games. That's 15 fewer than any other player in NBA history. Duncan Robinson is on a fucking tear. He's going to do this. He's going to sink a million threes. Everyone's going to go, oh, I can't believe Duncan Robinson won it. And be all like, oh, wait, but Jimmy told me first. So... I also like Joe Harris, if you want to have a bit of a... just because, like, in terms of, like, releases and speed, Joe Harris and Devin Booker are my favorites, apart from Duncan. So there you go. What do you reckon about that? The dunk comp... look, Air Gordon is $1.94. I don't think there's a giant amount of value there. I think he wins it. But I think the only other bloke who really has a chance is Derek Jones Jr. just to do something fucking wild and crazy. Derek Jones Jr. is $2.90. So if you feel like taking a little bit of a flyer, try that. I think Air Gordon just wins it anyway. And finally, the All-Star Game, Team Giannis versus Team LeBron. LeBron James is going to absolutely fucking tear Giannis' team apart because Team Giannis sucks. So, now, keep an eye on the over-under. If it's anything over, well, if it's anything under 300, go the over. If it's over under about 315, that's when you probably will have to go under. Like, the thing is, with the scoring totals this year, it's going to be all out of whack with the 24 total at the end of it. So I'd probably always go the under. If it's anything under 300, just keep an eye on it. Give it a look. And the MVP for the All-Star game is going to be Anthony Davis. Don't worry about that. Nice one. All right. Holy shit. That's it. That's it. Should we get beer somewhere on Monday? What do you reckon? Go watch the All-Star game. Yeah, nice one. Anyway, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. It's some good stuff. They're legends. And yeah, you can bet on all the All-Star game stuff. It's really cool. All right, we're back Monday. That's right. After the All-Star game, we're going to do a show, and then we're going to take a couple of days off because there's no games. There's literally no basketball. So, yeah, Monday we'll be back, which will be awesome. So make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We'll be doing a whole bunch of shit all All-Star weekend. We might even do some videos during the All-Star game and maybe the dunk comp and stuff. So that'll be fun. Yeah, nice. Couple of tins, you know, that's how it goes. NBAAustralia.com, get around that. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever app you're using on your Android phone. If you can rate and review, it really does help. So fucking do it. Come on, what are you waiting for? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's awesome. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout NBA Straya. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, Triple J Unearthed. Remember, NBA Straya supports Australian bands, and so should you. All right, that's it. We're going to close out with a Cooking with Bainesy for you. And we will catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Have a great weekend. This is NBA Straya saying, look after yourselves, and lederhosen. Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Yeah. All right, g'day. Look at yourself. Yes, g'day, Cheryl. I always see you down the front. Yeah. All right, oh, come on, settle down. Thanks very much. Yes, welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. And look, in this here episode, we are going to whip up one of my all-time absolute Aussie favourites. It's going to blow your mind. You can have it whenever. It's an absolute bloody treat. It is the classic party pie. Yeah, that's right. We're going to cook up some party pies for you on this episode of Cooking with Bainesy. Now, I love me some party pies. They're easy as, mate. Definitely helps keep up this physique, you know what I'm saying? I reckon I probably put away about 40 of these buggers per week, eh? Easy. All right, so. All right, you ready? So it's bloody simple, mate. Yes, all you gotta do is go down to your local soupy and just grab a box of party pies of whatever takes your fancy. Because look, now, I like the round ones and you can get a pack of 24 of patties, but I do also like the 4 and 20 party pies which come in those rectangles. They're a bit easier to eat because you can just grab the end and you're not going to burn your tongue. So whatever you prefer, just don't fuck around with the party packs. The sausage rolls are absolutely bloody rubbish. So, now, it's bloody simple. Just preheat your oven to 250 degrees or as hot as you bloody well want. Dump all 24 of your party pies. Don't screw around and only do 12 or half of them or whatever. Put all 24 out there because you're going to eat all of them. Trust me, you're going to eat all of them. When she's all heated up, your oven, put your tray in there. Just, I don't know, look at the back of the package, see that it says 30 minutes. Now, go crack a tin, sit back, hang out. Once they're done, grab them out, load them up with a bit of tomato sauce, and Bob's your bloody uncle. That is awesome, isn't it? Just look at it now. Look. This is very important. Give them a second to cool down. You probably have to only bite like the edge of one of them to open it up just to see how hot it is. Because otherwise, you'll burn your bloody tongue because the insides of these buggers are like bloody molten lava, eh? So, grab yourself another tin. Wait for them to cool down just a little bit so they're not bloody molten lava. Then get your bloody munch on. Oh, there you go. Look at this one. That's an absolute bloody ripper. The best bit is, these are as good as anything for any occasion. You got mates coming around, party pies. Misses with some of her mates, party pies. Kid's birthday? Party pies. Getting home shit-faced after a night out on the Terps? Party pies. Easy. They're just bloody delicious, mate. All right. Look, I'm just going to munch in this, and I'll probably cook up enough of them for all of you. Look at this. Here we go. Oh, how easy is that? Love it. All right. So get into the party pies. And that's it for this week. How easy? All right. Tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.